This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Here's something I don't say all that often, and now, sports. There's been a lot happening in the world of sports, particularly in Chicagoland, home to many of the teams that many of us cheer for, even if we don't live in the region. Joining us now to walk through those many stories is Cheryl Ray Stout, sports contributor for WBEZ, the NPR station in Chicago. Cheryl, it's been a while. Welcome back to the 21st Show. Good to talk with you.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it.
Listeners, 800-222-9455. We have taken a hard pivot from our conversation about American democracy, but if you have thoughts about sports, 800-222-9455 is the number to join us. Sure, let's start with the Chicago Bears. It seems that we may not be calling them the Arlington Heights Bears or Chicago Bears of Arlington Heights or whatever it was going to be after all. Can you say more about that?
It is still up in the air. When you listen to Kevin Warren, who is the president of the Chicago Bears, he took that job over a year ago. He wants to be in Chicago. He wants to have it on, you know, the south of the Soldier Field. And, you know, George Lucas tried to do that with the museum. It didn't happen. So it's going to be kind of interesting if he could get that done. Arlington Heights is still in play. When you think about the fact that the McCaskey family paid $197 million for Arlington Park Racetrack and they've torn it down, it's completely torn down, you got a question like, well, who has got the upper hand on this? And there are three school districts around Arlington Park Racetrack, District 15, District 211, District 214, and they are fighting over the tax issue with the property. So there's a lot of things in play, and I'm spinning the plates trying to make sure they don't fall on my head.
Yeah, I grew up near Balmoral Park, which is shuttered but not demolished, and it is still striking to drive past it and see. I think now it's mostly storage for, like, insurance-damaged vehicles or something. At least that's what it was last time I was in the area. Talk about the change in Arlington Heights and how people there are responding to what's happened.
I live 6 minutes from Arlington Park Racetrack.
Oh, wow.
I'm in Palatine. And actually, for people that don't understand the surrounding, Palatine, Rolling Meadows, and Arlington Heights surround the racetrack. And the two school districts, District 15 and 211, are from Palatine and Rolling Meadows. So they have a lot at stake at it. To be honest with you, from what I talk to a lot of people that live around there, they want it to happen. The businesses in Arlington Heights want it to happen because it's 326 acres. And it wouldn't just be a stadium. It would be developed into an entertainment area. There would be some residential units be put there. So there's a lot more to it than just the stadium. And it would be an enclosed one, too, so it could be used year-round.
And yet, it seems like Chicago is I don't know, at least favored by some. You mentioned George Lucas. He ran into, I can't remember, was that like the Friends of the Park kind of argument?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is that even feasible?
Well, I think they're going to have something to say about this, too. The other thing is, you know, like where Soldier Field is at, it's a beautiful site. However, it has a lot of issues when it comes to parking, trying to get there. There's a lot of aspects of it that doesn't make sense for a place to be built there. Now, it's different with the White Sox. There's a lot of people up for it with that one happening. But the one in Chicago, I think it's going to be really difficult to get it done. And everything, Brian, is going to be based on the taxes and who's going to pay for this.
Yeah. And will the people be made to pay for yet another major sports stadium? All right. While we're on the subject of the Bears, maybe we can talk actually about what they do on the field rather than where their field is located. Super Bowl's over. We're going to start thinking ahead to the next season. What are you watching for with regard to the Bears?
Right now, everything, Brian, is what are the Bears going to do with the number one draft pick? Because they have it again this year.
Oh, God.
And what happens with Justin Fields? So that's the one and only question Bear fans want to know. Will Ryan Poles, the general manager, will he trade that number one draft pick and move down to keep Justin Fields? Or will he take Caleb Williams of USC, who's considered by some experts as a generational talent? That's the big and probably the only question people want to know here in Chicago.
Yeah. How many times over the years have you had that, you know, have you done stories about, well, at least we got the number one draft pick, which is a sad statement on the quality of Chicago sports teams.
Well, it tells you how well Ryan Poles was able to get that draft pick last year from Carolina for this year. So it's an interesting scenario when nobody, nobody thought that they would be the worst team in the Lake Carolina, but they sure proved it.
All right, let's turn now to another sports team and another stadium story. You mentioned this, and that's the Chicago White Sox. They're looking for a new ballpark. I guess I'm old enough to think of it as a new ballpark. I still say Comiskey. What's going on there?
Well, it's funny, 1988, I was standing at the old Comiskey Park when the vote was going on in Springfield about a new park, and it did happen. The thing is, nowadays, when ballparks are in their 30 to 40 year range, and White Sox Park, when their leases, when Jerry Reinsdorf's lease is up in a few years, and I think it's 5 years, it would be making that point of being an old stadium. A lot of people kind of, cringe over that, but the fact is there's no type of entertainment value around the park. It's all parking lots around Guaranteed Rate Park. So the thought is that Jerry Reinsdorf would like to move the team into a newer stadium, and he's getting a lot of handshaking with people to get this thing done, it looks like. We've already seen the renderings. They sent it to us out in the media, and it's gorgeous what they want to do. It's at Roosevelt and Clark, right on the river. The funny question, when I posted things about it, the White Sox fans go, "Where's the parking?" I don't know. I don't know about the parking, but that may be closer to possibly happening than any of us thought just a few months ago.
Wow. Well, God forbid people take public transportation to a sporting event. I won't
They could
guess.
take boats.
Yeah, maybe the water taxi business was is behind this move. All right, while we're on the subject of the Sox and baseball, pitchers and catchers are reporting for spring training this week. What are you watching out for there?
Well, I look at the Cubs, and if you look at the Cubs, they got a new manager in Craig Counsell, so they have a lot more positivity about them. We don't know about Cody Bellinger. That's still a question mark, but he hasn't signed anybody yet. When you look at the White Sox, there's a lot of different people. They had 101 losses last year. They're not going to be as competitive as anybody could ever imagine. A lot of new faces, a lot of faces gone. Tim Anderson is gone. Liam Hendricks is gone. So you have a lot of these players that are not going to be there that you're familiar with. So you got to get used to seeing Nicky Lopez and Paul DeJong and people like that being part of this. And they won't call it, but it is, Brian, it's a rebuild.
Oh God, another rebuilding year. Okay.
I've
All right. If you're
seen plenty of those.
Right. I mean, I guess the question is, have you seen more of those than the other? The Bulls probably skew that result from the 90s, but
Yeah, the Bulls and the Blackhawks, yeah.
Right, of course. All right. Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're speaking with Cheryl Ray Stout, sports contributor at WBEZ Chicago Public Radio, 800-222-9455 to join us. Unbelievably, we have another sports infrastructure story to talk about, and that is Northwestern University, which demolished Ryan Field. A new one is set to be built in its place. But again, a lot of neighborly opinion about this stadium. What's happening there?
Well, they haven't demolished it yet. What they've done is got the barriers all around it. I was just up there yesterday. They have
Okay.
barriers all around it. And what they're doing is they're doing the infrastructure underneath it to prepare the piping and everything that has to be done. But there is these big blue barriers around it. And for those that don't understand how close people are, you just go across the street and there's apartment buildings right there. It's in the center of a residential area. It's kind of interesting because it's going to happen. I mean, they're going to have a new stadium there, and the neighborhood is going to be really changed a lot because they're talking about having concerts, and that's something that I think that's what's really caused the ire of the people around that stadium.
And yeah, I guess you can understand that. You don't want, Dave Matthews Band or whatever it would be, performing right across you. So, I mean, is there still some chance of changes here? It seems like there's a lot of money at stake. Northwestern is plowing ahead. What happens next?
Brian, what I'm seeing the trucks there. I'm seeing cement work being done. I'm seeing the barriers. There's no way this is not going to be done. This is, they've actually the parking lot that we usually get to park to when we cover practices is not available to us because they're already got the construction trucks there getting ready to do things. So it's happening. There's no question about it. It would be too late for anybody to try to stop that.
All right. Well, I guess that's the Chicago way. Another story, we can probably dispense with this one pretty quickly, but I've been seeing after the success of last year's NASCAR event in downtown Chicago, and I guess I pause there because I suppose people will argue about whether or not it was a good thing, but after last year's NASCAR event in downtown, we have rumors of a Formula One event potentially coming to Chicago. What do we know, or how little do we know, maybe is the way to phrase that?
I think little is what we can say right now. Apparently, there's been no talks yet with the mayor's office in Chicago about this. And Formula One is talking about it could be in April, it could be in June. Well, April's not that far away, so something has to be decided. But they, you know, because what NASCAR did last year, it put Chicago internationally on the map. And they would love to have Chicago be part of Formula One, which, you know, of course, is the I have to use the word sexy one of the racing. So it's a possibility, but you know, it does infringe on people that live around the city because you don't just get closed down for the race. You get closed down for days and actually a couple of weeks beforehand. So it's really a difficult way to get around the city when you have something like that.
But it is a bigger fan base. I mean, in America,
yes.
Internationally,
huge.
Though. Yeah, compared to
huge.
NASCAR.
Yeah, they want Chicago to be the third U.S. city to have a Formula One.
Wow, interesting. All right, let's work our way to college sports now. Although I guess we touched on that with Northwestern and their infrastructure, but March Madness is approaching. Which Illinois teams are you going to be watching for the tournament?
We have three teams in Illinois that you really have to look at. Northwestern, they're now fourth in the conference, Big Ten conference. They have a 17-7 record. They really are playing well, but they did lose Ty Berry. That was announced yesterday when I was at the practice, so they lost one of their scorers. Then you look at Loyola. Loyola, nobody thought would be as good as they are right now because last year they were last in the first year in Atlantic 10, and they won last night. They're now 18-7. They're tied for first place in that conference. So they're playing well. You know, the transfer portal helped them. And then, of course, Illinois. Illinois is ranked 14th. They've had some scuffles here and there, but they did have a big win against Michigan the other day. And you look at Terrence Shannon Jr., and he's, you know, he had 31 points. He's really, you know, back in form. And it's going to be fun to watch because it's, you know, we don't have many good things going on in pro sports, so the college scene is kind of fun.
Yeah. And while we're on the subject, although it's not an Illinois school, there has been a lot of talk about in our neighboring state, Iowa, point guard Caitlin Clark. She may be breaking some records. Can you tell us about that?
Well, yeah. Brian, I got to go see her play Northwestern just a few weeks ago, and they had never had a sold out crowd for women's basketball at Northwestern, and it was packed, and it was 80% Iowa fans with Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark, you know, I covered the Jordan era. I was part of the broadcast team, and I used to travel with Jordan and the Bulls. And the thing is, it's like a mini Jordan reaction. I'm not kidding you. To be on the road, being able to do what she's done, and tonight she's playing. Iowa's hosting Michigan, and she is 8 points away from breaking Kelsey Plum's women's NCAA all-time scoring record. And she's only 147 from Pete Maravich's record overall.
Wow, what a time to be alive. I've seen the Ray Gun t-shirt company, which is based in Iowa, has put out a bunch of shirts related to her and other teams. I think they're calling Iowa the center of the women's basketball universe. I don't know if that's overstating it, but yeah.
You can say whatever you want, right?
All right. Cheryl Ray Stout is a contributor to WBEZ in Chicago, the public radio station there. Great talking with you again. Thanks so much for being with us today on the 21st show.
Appreciate it, Brian. Thank you.
And that's all the time we have for our program today. Coming up tomorrow, it's our Friday news roundups. We'll have the latest from what's been happening in Springfield. We'll talk to Linda Kenyon, our Washington correspondent, about what's been happening in D.C. And we'll take a deeper dive on what interesting things that have been going on in federal courts. There was a former top Democratic staffer sentenced for lying to a grand jury. A former Illinois Democratic lawmaker was convicted for tax fraud, and there are still people being charged for their role in the January 6th insurrection. We'll talk with someone who spends most of his time covering the federal courthouse courthouses here in Illinois. That's coming up tomorrow on the 21st show, which is produced by Christine Hatfield, Kennedy Vincent, and Jose Zepeda. Our digital producer is Damian Contreras. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We will talk with you again tomorrow.